Are you ready to take your intermittent fasting lifestyle to the next level? There's nothing better than community to help with that. In the Delay, Don't Deny community, we all embrace the clean fast, and there's just the right support for you as you live your intermittent fasting lifestyle. You can connect directly with me in the Ask Jen group, and I'll answer all of your questions personally. If you're new to intermittent fasting or recommitting to the intermittent fasting lifestyle, join the 28-Day Fast Start group. After your fast start, join us for support in the first year group. Need tips for long-term maintenance? We have a place for that. There are many more useful spaces beyond these, and you can interact in as many as you like. Visit jenstevens.com/community to join us. An annual membership costs just over $1 a week when you do the math. If you aren't ready to fully commit for a year, join for a month, and you can cancel at any time. If you know you'll want to stay forever, we also have a lifetime membership option available. IF is free. You don't need to join our community to fast. But if you're looking for support from a community of like-minded intermittent fasters, we're here for you at jenstevens.com/community. That's jenstevens.com/community. We all face stress in our daily lives. What if the answer to a better stress response is in one key nutrient? I'm talking about magnesium, and specifically Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. This one-of-a-kind product is designed to reverse low levels of magnesium, which could have a positive effect on our stress response. But don't take my word for it. Here's a quote from a 2020 issue of the scientific journal Nutrients. Results suggest that stress could increase magnesium loss, causing a deficiency, and in turn, magnesium deficiency could enhance the body's susceptibility to stress, resulting in a magnesium and stress vicious circle. I only recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. It's the only organic full-spectrum magnesium supplement that includes 7 unique forms of magnesium for stress resilience and better sleep. Simply go to bioptimizers.com/ifstories, promo code ifstories10 to get your Magnesium Breakthrough and find out this month's gift with purchase. That's bioptimizers.com/ifstories, promo code ifstories10. Welcome to Intermittent Fasting Stories. I'm your host, Jen Stevens, author of the New York Times bestseller, Fast, Feast, Repeat, as well as the book that started it all, Delay, Don't Deny. I lost over 80 pounds thanks to intermittent fasting after learning how to delay my eating rather than denying myself the delicious foods I want to eat. Now, who's ready to hear an inspirational intermittent fasting story? That's why we're here. So let's get excited to talk to today's guest. Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 134 of Intermittent Fasting Stories. Today, I'm here with Lucy Marsden. Lucy is from Leicestershire in England, and she is a primary school cookery teacher. I'm using the English words there. So welcome, Lucy.
Hi.
I'm so glad to have you. Lucy is also a moderator in the Delay, Don't Deny Intermittent Fasting group. Are you also a moderator in One Meal a Day?
No, just in just the big group.
You've been around for a long time. When did you first join? You started in the One Meal a Day group, right?
I did.
When did you join?
The 8th of August, 2017.
Wow.
That was a really long time ago.
Yeah, Delay, Don't Deny wasn't even a year old yet.
No.
So you've been around for a long time. I know I've seen you around in the group always sharing your beautiful meals. And so I'm glad to finally talk to you on the podcast.
Well, when I joined, there was no way I was going to do one meal a day. That was totally research. How ridiculous.
But you joined the One Meal a Day group.
Yeah, because your name is Jill Jin Calhoun Stevens.
Right.
I really like Jin. My niece's father is called Calhoun, which is a really rare name. And my partner's name is Stevens. So it was like a sign. I had to join your group. I just looked up fasting and that's what came up.
That's a long time ago because that's when I actually had my maiden name in my Facebook name for years. And then I finally just got rid of that. But yeah, my maiden name is Calhoun and we are of Scottish descent.
There you go.
So we trace back to the Scottish Calhouns that came over. And now I'm just Jen Stevens on Facebook. But yeah, that was a long time ago. And I'm glad that you love Jen.
Yeah. Gin still.
I am not a gin drinker.
Oh, it's a definitely what we'd call a Marmite thing. Love it or hate it. It's
yeah, I think so too. To me, it's like you're chewing on a bush.
When my mum used to drink it, I thought it was like drinking perfume. I couldn't understand why you would do that.
But my mother loves it. Ah. My mother drinks gin. That's her thing. That's probably why she named me Gin, but okay. So, you know, I like to start by asking, what brought you to intermittent fasting and when was that? I know what brought you to the group, but what brought you to intermittent fasting?
It was around about the same time. We had entertained a bit of 5-2 from Michael Mosley's thing. I feel like a bit of a cheat because I've never had a massive weight issue. I've put on 10, 15 pounds every now and then lost it over a few months just by being careful. But my partner, when I met him, he had just lost 5 stone, which what's that times 14? Let's say 65, 70 pounds in 4 months from going to the gym twice a day, only eating stir fry, just complete calorie restriction.
Right.
So you all know what happened next. Right. He put it all back on. But so when I met him, he was quite a slender guy. And then within a few months, he just ballooned up. I thought, oh my God, what's happened to this guy? So I spent the next 5-10 years trying to help him lose weight. And it had never been my issue, but I just was looking at all different kinds of low carb. And we did Weight Watchers. I got very gaunt on Weight Watchers. I got super skinny. Yeah, but miserable as sin. I was resentful every day. And he put weight on.
He gained weight on Weight Watchers.
Yeah. So I was like, why am I doing this? Why am I suffering when you're even bloody putting weight on? I'm not going to bother. So gave that one up. We tried all sorts of different things. And then a friend of ours was on holiday with us in Turkey that August. And he said, well, if you're doing the 5-2, why don't you do different type of fasting? He was a Fung fan and he did some really long fasts. He did the odd 5 or 6 day fast. And I said, well, that's just ridiculous. But he started talking more about the science of it.
Right.
Which got me really interested. So they shared our holiday for a week. When they went away, I got straight on the internet, looked it all up, and I found this Jin Stevens woman and found the group and just started reading people's comments and thinking, well, this is totally doable. So even on holiday, because we were actually in Turkey at the time, I stopped eating. I was never a breakfast fan anyway, but I stopped eating before 1 o'clock. And then we might go out for a nice lunch, a few cocktails. And then I found, oh, I'm not really that hungry. So it just happened quite instinctively and quite quickly. I think because we'd done the 5-2 before, and on my 2 days, we'd always have a dinner, a 500-calorie dinner, and I'd take maybe some boiled eggs or some cheese to school with me, but I'd never eat it. So I'd actually been fasting through the day.
So when you did 5-2, and you did 5-2 right around then, also in August of 17.
Yeah, even earlier than that, maybe. Okay, probably May, June, July.
May, June, July.
In the summer months, I'm not hungry in the day when it's sunny. I know you are, aren't you? When you go to the lake, though, you get hungry.
Well, yeah, when I'm in the sun a lot, it makes me hungry.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, yeah.
And when I lived in Kenya and it was hot, I never wanted to eat in the day, which is I was super skinny in Kenya. And I think it was hot. I didn't really feel like it. And I'd just have my dinner in the evening.
I don't know what it is about being out on the water, being on the lake, and then I come home and I'm starving. Mm. I don't know. They always said it was swimming would work up an appetite, but I do not swim in the lake. I don't know what's down there.
It's all that fresh air, maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. Just something. Maybe it's the stress. You know, stress will make you hungry.
Yeah.
And so you might think, why is going to the lake stressful? It's driving the boat. Because my husband and I go to the lake and we have to put in the boat. So we have to, I mean, he backs it down the boat ramp. And then I have to drive it off the trailer. Like back it off, and he's always like, "Blah, don't do that, don't do that. What are you gonna cry?" And I'm like, "Ah, you know." And then the wind and whatever, and then I have to go to the pier and pick him up, and I always feel like I'm gonna smash it. Driving a boat is hard.
Yeah, sounds
so. Stressful. Maybe it's the stress. It's
maybe.
Not the weather. Yeah. I leave and I'm just like, okay, now I'm so hungry. You just made me have a epiphany there.
See, when you're at the beach, do you still get hungry?
Not like that. So I think it is the stress.
Yeah.
It's going to the lake. I'm always starving. I think we nailed it. Stress is a killer, isn't it?
Certainly is.
So 5-2 worked for you, and you were really doing a late in the day eating window with your 500 calories.
And you know how it is at school. Busy, busy, busy. And because I'm a cookery teacher, I don't get a lunch hour. I'm washing up and prepping for the next group. So there's no point stuffing something in when I wasn't even hungry.
And primary is what? I know we in the United States, we consider primary school to be like, we call it elementary. It's like
first, second, third, fourth, fifth. That's our primary,
up to
our
age
grades.
10, 11.
Okay, so you're, it's the up same thing. 10, primary 11. For you is, it's the same thing. Primary here would be elementary up to age 10, 11. Okay, so you were teaching the young ones cookery.
And I do start with the tiny ones. Yeah.
Oh, I love
that. Yeah, I start with the tiny ones as well, like 3, 4-year-olds. We start by cutting, with just a normal eating knife, cutting them some bananas, learning how to hold the thing safely. And yeah, it's really good fun. Oh, and we make omelette in a bag.
See, I always pictured you with older kids. I always pictured you with like high school, what we call high school, you know, the teenagers. But
no,
you're teaching
little,
okay.
little ones.
I love that you teach the little ones how to cook.
When people ask me what I do for a living, I normally say I teach small children to peel potatoes, which isn't quite it, but yeah. Kind
well, of. But if they're peeling potatoes, you yeah. do. So is that typical for schools in the UK that,
no.
that they have? Okay.
I don't know anyone else who does it.
Okay. So it's not like a normal part of the curriculum.
Not at all. I think what happened was one of the schools I was working in, they were saying, why does everybody always make bread and cakes? Why don't they ever make any actual food?
Right.
So I said, well, I can write you a curriculum. And the head said, off you go. I said, what's my budget? He said, well, tell me how much it's going to cost. I was like, oh, great. So I wrote them a curriculum and then I taught it. I taught every class 3 times a year. So we had a really lovely developmental curriculum where I could teach them first how to, we made like Welsh rarebit, which is basically
right.
cheese on toast. Start with that. And by the end, we were making carbonara, macaroni cheese with vegetables, like a proper meal. When they were 10 and 11. It was great.
I love that. You know, it made me think back a long time ago when I taught in Aiken, South Carolina. I had a lot of flexibility to do whatever I wanted. I was the gifted teacher there, and I taught third graders, gifted third graders. And we did a big unit that was like months long. It was around the world. And it was when multicultural education was a big buzzword in education. And so I had a grant for that. And we cooked we would study a culture, you know, like say Mexico, and then we would learn about the history, we would learn about the traditions, the holidays, and then we would cook. And yeah, I had all sorts of cooking equipment in my classroom, and I had forgotten about that till you just brought it up. But the third graders loved it.
They do. All the children love it, and the less academic children really love it because they can succeed really easily. They don't need to read. They don't need to write. And the maths in it is fantastic.
Oh, so much math.
Yeah.
And, you know, what's really a shame is that this was in the mid-1990s when I was still, fairly young in my teaching career. And now we've taken all that out here in the United States because of standardized testing. You can't directly correlate cooking to increase test scores. So all that stuff got taken out of the curriculum, and you were like weren't allowed to do it anymore because you're like, show me the standard that is. And people just lost their.
One of the ways I've managed to squeeze it into quite a few schools is they do a thing called topic, which is like you say, studying the culture of a country
right.
or studying whatever. And I would say, tell me what your topic is next term. And then I'd find some recipes that would fit. So Victorian recipes, Aztec recipes, Mayan recipes, anything that would fit either with their history or their geography or anything, or even science, change of state. You can eggs change state. So, yeah. So you can.
Why is that happening? There's so much. We used to teach like that more. You know, we would teach around a topic, like you're saying, back in the 90s. And you would just integrate everything in. And it was so interesting. And the kids
yeah.
loved it.
And I think you learn better like that. It's more realistic, isn't it? More holistic.
It is. But then over time, everything just got separated and segmented out. And you had to like prove what you were doing was going to make them score higher anyway.
And this is making me think back about medicine. The same thing's happening, isn't it? People get specialized and they don't look at the bigger picture.
Yeah.
So if you've only got someone looking at one aspect of your health, they're missing all kinds of other things. I think it's the same, education and medicine.
I think so too. So I wonder if the pandemic will bring us back to more of
nice.
I know it would, because I know that, you know, obviously standardized testing has to be different during a pandemic when people can't.
Yeah.
You know, when people are you know, not like I know they didn't have the tests this past year. They just like waived all that testing requirement. So maybe we'll discover some of the joy, because I know those kids just have the joy in learning.
Yeah.
These days, achieving my health and wellness goals is more about making healthy habits that stick and less about quick fixes. And that's why I love Daily Harvest. Daily Harvest takes care of the planning, prep, and cleanup by delivering my favorite veggie and fruit-packed options straight to my door. Yesterday, I had a sweet potato and wild rice hash harvest bowl to open my window, then a great dinner with Chad later on, and then I had an apple and spiced oat bite to close. I'm going to have to start hiding those from Chad because he loves them too. Not really. The solution is simply order more. Create healthy habits that last with Daily Harvest. For a limited time, go to dailyharvest.com/ifstories to get $30 off your first box plus free shipping. That's dailyharvest.com/ifstories for $30 off your first box and free shipping. dailyharvest.com/ifstories.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Yeah, I was quite shocked when I first started teaching 10-year-olds in England because I'd been in Kenya where we really did make it up ourselves as we went along. I worked in a prep school where I just had to prepare them for the 11 plus, do whatever we wanted. It was fantastic. One day there was a whale on the beach. So we all got in the minibus and went down and looked at the whale on the beach. It was really cool.
That really was what the 90s were like. I know we're not talking about fasting. Sorry, everybody. We'll get to that in a minute. But in the 90s, it was really very much like what is the teacher passionate about? And you could really just do anything around that. And the children loved coming to school so much. They were excited about being there and they did learn. They learned.
Yeah. Yeah, I was shocked when I came and the 10-year-olds were all just sitting in rows, you know, you're reading for half an hour, you're doing this for half an hour. I thought, wow, it wasn't like that. We used to have a lot more fluidity.
Yeah.
Hey ho.
The good old days. All right. So when you were working in the school, it was very easy for you to just wait till the end of the day. Then you learned about a daily eating window. So you just transitioned right to that.
Yeah. Very quickly. And I found it surprisingly easy, especially if I was busy, which I was in school. So when I was teaching, absolutely no problem at all. And what I used to do is have something in the car for the way home. The longer I went on, the less often I'd eat it.
So because it was just a pain to have to drag it with you.
Yeah.
That's how it got for me. You know, you could just wait till you had time to get home and have something better.
Yeah, have something proper. And again, that's another great trick, I suppose, is to make sure what you're going to eat is going to be amazing and then it's worth waiting for.
Absolutely. So I can imagine that you have some amazing things that you eat. I've seen your food over the years. So
yeah.
You open your window about what time?
5 o'clock. Never before or very, very rarely before, unless we're on holiday. But 5 o'clock is the time. But if we're busy or I'm not hungry, I wait until my meal, which is normally around about 6.
Okay.
But lately I'm obsessed with avocados and coconut. So at 5 o'clock, I'm having an avocado and a handful of coconut.
So you just have like the coconut,
yeah,
like the dried coconut.
No, you can buy it here ready prepared. It's chipped out of the actual coconut, but just in chunks. So
it's fresh.
Yeah.
It's not. Okay.
So it's like you've got a coconut, but you didn't have to do the work. That's great.
Oh, that's nice.
It's really nice.
I love coconut. I'm drinking a lot of coconut water.
Mm.
Do you drink coconut water?
Not really, especially not now I've heard what it does to your glucose reading.
Oh, well, don't tell me that. What is it? Oh, because I said that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was like, no. Okay, no, you're right. But here's what's so funny. I just got my results back from the Zoe.
Oh,
which
yeah.
Is really off the kind. It was quick. It's actually kind of funny because yesterday, exactly 24 hours ago, I was having a Skype with two people from the United Kingdom who work for Zoe. I was talking to one of their head researchers and also one of their nutritionists. And it was actually kind of funny because they asked me, they're like, "Would you like to have a call to go over your results?" I'm like, "I'd love to." And we got on the call and I'm like, "Okay, I have to ask, do you have this call with everyone who goes through it?" They're like, "No, we know who you are."
Oh, you're special.
Well, I don't know how they knew because I just signed up like a normal person, you know, but they said that they had actually had people who went through it and mentioned my name. So I guess they're really looking. I mean, they're really looking at people that are doing it. So they knew who I was and so connected with me. And it was absolutely an amazing conversation. For anyone who doesn't know what I'm talking about, this is the PREDICT study. Dr. Tim Spector, who is from the United Kingdom, has been doing work with nutrition for decades with twins. And now he's into the realm of personalized nutrition. And the impact of your gut microbiome and your genetics and how it works together. And there, you know, I wore a continuous blood glucose monitor. Lucy, being behind the scenes as a moderator, saw me going through it. And one day my blood glucose went up, and it was after I'd had coconut water. But here's what's so funny. Coconut water is on my list of good foods.
Also, I listened to you and Melanie on your other podcast.
Okay, so you heard me talk about it there.
I felt like I knew you like 3 years ago, like with I used to take you on my dog walk, you and Melanie, just chatting away. I just felt like I knew you. It was great.
But I'm exactly like you thought I was,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very cool.
I'm not different on the air as I am off the air. I'm the same everywhere. But yes, so after talking to them yesterday about the PREDICT study, it was absolutely fascinating. Talking to the head researcher has inspired me. I am going to – they want you to take a month and eat according to what your gut microbiome and your blood glucose response showed you should do. I'm going to do it.
I would. That sounds fantastic.
Well, it's a little scary. It's scary because I don't want to have to...
Oh, to do what you're told. You
yes!
hate that.
I just want to eat whatever I want to eat. You know that about me.
And a month's quite a long time. But it's actually fascinating.
And it's
I'm really
holidays.
Curious to see whether many people have your same reaction to carbohydrates, because that would be fascinating.
I'm going to tell you what they here's something I need to admit that I haven't said. The results actually showed poor glucose control for me. It looked good to me when I was doing it.
Really?
You know, I talked about it and I saw a slow curve back down, but I don't know, I'm not them. So when they it looked good to me, but when they interpreted it, it was not as great as I was thinking it was. So I've got to be a little more careful with certain carbohydrates.
I want them blood glucose monitor. I want to do it. Sounds amazing.
Yeah. So just because I feel great and my curve never, you know, I never got over what I thought. I guess I'm interpreting it through the lens of, you know, we're so used to bad numbers like diabetes. Like this is what the diabetics, you try to stay below this. So I guess my response was not what they want to see. It wasn't as anyway. So I'm going to have lots and lots of veggies. And beans are great for me.
Oh,
so
good.
You know how I've always said beans are like 100, that like perfect 100. They rate beans are great for me, which I already knew. But they don't rate potatoes as high. So.
Oh, my goodness. Does that mean you're not supposed to eat them for a month?
No. I think I'm not going to eat them for a month. But what you have to do is you're it's really combining your foods. Mm-hmm. They have an app. And so you put in what you're going to eat. And that's the part I don't like is the tracking and putting things in and taking the time. I just want to eat things. But putting it in the app is the hard part. But you're trying to get a high score for your body. And it's based on your gut microbiome. And they talked to me a lot about that yesterday. The new discoveries, you know, I last had my gut microbiome analyzed in 2017, but they said the methods that they're using now are so very different. The wording that they used, I can't remember, but they can really pinpoint it even more than they could in 2017. It's just unfolding. So you have to try to get your number up. So you try to eat foods that score high, 50 and above, and then they come together to make a meal score. And you know how I've always talked about that my body did better with lower fat? Well, when I eat too much fat, that score goes down for me. So I'm going to have to really be a little careful with my with my cheese and my butter.
Oh,
and
no.
But I'm going to do it.
Yeah,
I'm excited. Right. I just made that terrible noise. But then I'm actually excited about trying it. Because if I've gone to all this trouble, I have to do it. So anyway, now we're talking about me and not about you. This is your story, Lucy. So tell me what foods you love to eat in your eating window.
Well, this is why I have to do intermittent fasting. I love all food. I just love food. It's my thing. If I'm not eating, which I'm only doing for 3-4 hours a day these days, or actually down to 1 or 2 at the moment, I am planning, cooking, watching programs about it, researching, ordering online, all sorts of different ingredients that I might want to play with. So just absolutely everything. I just love food. Mike is a bit traditional, my partner. He likes meat, potatoes and peas, or he likes his carbs and he likes meat. So I now, my solution to that is that I now make myself an amazing vegetable side dish that's half my meal, so that he gets his thing and I get what I want as well. So I probably eat less protein than him because I'm not that interested. I quite like it, but I don't want half a plate. So I'll have a little bit of chicken or a little bit of steak or a bit of fish or whatever, but he'll have probably twice as much. And I'll have half a plate of vegetables, but plenty of cheese. I'm mad for cheese. And I didn't realise until I started actually embracing one meal a day that there were things I was avoiding. I always thought I eat whatever I want, but actually lots of high fat things I was thinking I couldn't have. In fact, I've got a Thermomix, which is a cooking heated blender gadget. And there's a website called Skinny Mixers where she does healthy fat, low carb. And I thought, how can you call that Skinny Mixers? Look at all that fat. That's outrageous. But obviously she was well ahead of the curve that you can eat like that and be fantastically healthy. So I did a few of her recipes. I was like, oh, this is really bad. I'm definitely going to get fat eating like this. But no. And that was the great thing with one meal a day, is I actually realized where I had been restricting and that I don't have to do that.
Well, we just internalize all these messages. This is bad. That is bad.
And I was having to teach that you must eat a small amount of fat. And over time, I've really felt like I don't want to teach that anymore because I don't think that's true. And it's certainly not true for everybody. It varies.
It's absolutely.
And the source of the fat is way more important than the quantity. You need to eat good fats.
For me, the reason I should eat less fat also is because apparently my fat clearance is not great.
Oh.
They
well, yeah, they test on it.
Well, I know that they test two different things with the Zoe test, the predict. So my data is actually going to be part of the Predict 3 study. And I actually wrote about it in Fast, Feast, Repeat, the Predict 1 and Predict 2. But they're really dialing it in. But they test your blood. They have these muffins. You've heard me talk about those muffins. So they have muffins. Different recipe muffins. They were fun to eat. I actually was excited. I'm going to eat muffins. I love. No, they were not delicious. But they're, you know, designed to be. One of them is a very sugary kind of a muffin to test your blood sugar control after eating a very high sugary carby meal. And the other is a very high fat muffin, very, very just fatty. So they test to see how your body clears the blood glucose after that and also how your body clears the fat. So my body didn't clear the sugar quickly, and then it didn't clear the fat quickly. But I tend to not eat those things in isolation anyway. I tend to be, you know, more of a combiner.
Yeah, I don't have a sweet tooth at all, which I discovered. I did freedom eating, I don't know, in the 80s or something.
And is that like intuitive eating?
I guess it is. It was off the QVC shopping channel. I bought this
pack. Oh, I've never heard of that.
Cards. Oh, it's old. It's from a long time ago.
Freedom eating. Okay, that sounds like the opposite of intuitive eating then. What is freedom eating?
There were like six basic rules, which I can't remember, but they are eat exactly what you want, only eat when you're hungry, eat to satiety, notice how you feel half an hour later, notice how you feel an hour later.
Oh, that is intuitive.
Yeah,
that
there might be something after that. But that was a revelation to me because I didn't like sweet things and I didn't even know until then. I would just eat them because everybody likes them. But then I'd go in the staff room, I'd see a donut, I'd cut it in quarters or even eighths, eat a bit and think, no, I didn't actually like that and it didn't make me feel good. Even 15 minutes later, it didn't make me feel good. So I just stopped doing it.
And that's awesome.
I don't have much interest. And if I have a dessert, I'm more likely to have a high fat dessert. I like creamy things. I don't like sugary things. I probably wouldn't eat a donut. And people are like, what? Oh, and Mike's got four daughters. They say, how come there's always chocolate in your house? Like, because I'm not that bothered. I'll have a piece of chocolate. But they're like, oh, no, I like to eat a whole bar at a sitting. I'm like, no.
You're just going to have maybe little here and there.
Not for me. One piece, two pieces, and I'm good. And now my appetite correction is crazy after 3 years of daily fasting. Even one piece sometimes is enough. I take a bite and think, no, I don't need that.
Yeah, I ate an entire cupcake. My husband, Chad's birthday was last week, and I had this cupcake from a local bakery, and it was so sugary.
Yeah.
I was like, ugh. So the second day, I was like, I'm not eating any more of those cupcakes. One, that was enough. I'm cupcaked out.
If I bake, I mean, we don't eat sweet stuff anyway. Luckily, Mike doesn't have a sweet tooth either. But I'll probably put in half the sugar in the recipe and it still tastes too sweet to me. I just don't have a sweet tooth, which I think is very lucky.
Like savory bread instead.
Yeah. I'll make focaccia with olives and some dried tomatoes and stuff like that and eat the whole thing.
Oh, now see, I could do that too. Yeah. I could eat the whole thing.
Very nice with a glass of wine. In the summer when the lockdown, we were allowed to have people in the garden. We'd just sit in the garden. I'd bake a focaccia and we'd sit in the garden with Mike's daughters and drink wine and eat focaccia.
That sounds lovely.
Yeah.
I'm using my English terms. It's lovely. Lovely. So is Mike doing intermittent fasting with you?
Well, I started for his benefit 3 whole years ago and he completely ignored it for about 1 year. And it was annoying because the 5-2 had really worked for him, but he got resentful about the fasting days. And we'd do Monday nearly always. And then Wednesday he'd say, oh, I've arranged to meet so-and-so in the pub. Like, oh, so we'll do Thursday. And then Thursday he didn't really feel like it. So I thought we'll try an eating window approach. But he kind of ignored it. I kept giving him the books to read and he said he'd read them, but I don't think he really had. And then we had a minor disagreement this morning because I said that he wasn't. He said he's doing 16:8. And I said, well, I see you finishing wine at 9 o'clock. He said, I didn't have my breakfast till after one yesterday. Like, oh, okay. So I think he's doing 16:8, which after 3 years, I'm really grateful that he's doing something. It's going to be a long job. And I keep thinking he lost a little bit of weight when he first started a few months ago and he was delighted. And I said, there you go. It works. Then he stopped losing weight, but he wasn't really doing it properly. He likes to have his breakfast. I said if he didn't call it breakfast, he called it lunch, he would probably do better. But he likes to have his breakfast, and then he's still drinking wine at 9 at night. It's too big a window.
Yeah, but he's got to shrink that up. He's
getting some health benefits. Yeah, because he used to eat fruit at 6:30 in the morning. So that his insulin resistance will be crazy. He's mad for fruit. He would just live off fruit, which is weird, isn't it? He likes meat and he likes potatoes, but he really likes fruit, so
yeah,
but not vegetables. I used to nag him about vegetables, but he eats so much fruit I don't need to worry about it.
See, I don't like fruit. I'm the opposite. Bothered. No, I don't. The only fruit I like dates.
Oh yeah,
sadness. Those are on my bad list.
Oh, they're really sweet.
Yeah, but I love them. They are. They're really sweet.
Cheese, they should be okay, shouldn't they?
Yeah, maybe we'll see what that does. I'll see how that affects the score. But dates are on my bad food list, and I know, and things like berries are okay for me. Like blackberries are really high. Avocados are 100. So I could make a meal out of like black beans and avocados. Yeah. And that is like the perfect foods for me. So I'm really excited. I'm excited about that. I'm going to actually take a break from the meal delivery for an entire month and do my own cooking. And I'm just going to cycle through some simple foods that I love. I'm only going to eat foods that I love, but I'm going to eat lots of vegetables and maybe I'll pull out some blackberries. Mm. But
yeah, we always have loads of fruit in the house because he loves it and I'm really not bothered. He'll make himself a huge fruit salad and pour cream on it. And then I'll have 3 or 4 spoonfuls of it and think, yeah, that's quite nice.
That's enough, yeah.
But I also have already then eaten half a plate of vegetables, so that works for me.
So you said you didn't really need to lose a lot of weight. You've just had that 10 to 15 pound
struggle. Yeah, and that, because we were on holiday when I started, I did have that holiday. I used to get a muffin top that when I came home, my clothes wouldn't fit and I'd be a bit miserable. But I'd just be sensible for 4 or 5 months. But you see, part of my being sensible is not eating when I'm not hungry. And I'm never hungry for breakfast. Never, ever, ever. I'm probably not hungry before 11 o'clock ever, even before I did intermittent fasting. So probably my being sensible did include increasing my fasting window. Because
without even knowing it.
Yeah, because if I don't drink in the evening, if I don't drink alcohol, I eat a lot less. So probably being sensible included not drinking. So I probably would be actually fasting from maybe 7 till 11 the next day without even thinking about it. But then when I started the proper one meal a day, just having my dinner, that weight came off. I can't really remember because it was a long time ago, but pretty quickly. You know from watching me in the groups, I've always got this extra 2 pounds that I want rid of.
Two?
I think it's two. It's my belly, but I'm thinking now that I look even more like my mother, I'm 54 now, I think it's just a genetic belly. I think unless I'm going to go to the gym or never drink alcohol or I don't know. Look, when I did that Weight Watchers, I lost the belly, but I was really thin then. Actually, I made a note of how light I was and it was like 133 or something like that. And I'm 5'6". That's
okay. Yeah, 133 is a little for 5'6".
That was the only time I didn't have that little two belly that I wanted rid of. But other than that, what I'm totally amazed by every time is all my clothes fit and have done for 2.5 years. That's never happened before in my life because even though it was only 6 or 7 pounds up and down, that's enough to make your nice dressing up clothes not fit. You have to try on 5 different dresses before you go out. But now everything fits every time, always, which is just so refreshing.
It really is. This is the first time in my life that I've ever maintained with the same wardrobe.
Yeah.
Yeah. The clothes that I bought when I hit my goal in 2015, some of them became too big over time, you know, as I continued to lose weight, like especially around, you know, like my chest area, my arms, my shoulders, you know, I continued to change. My body shape changed over time. So some things, you know, didn't fit because they were too big. But I've never had to buy new clothes that were larger since 2015. I haven't had to go up. And which is the first time ever.
I've had some big clothes that I saved for when I was a bit heavy that I've been able to get rid of because I'm just not. And this is why I felt like I couldn't come on your podcast because I haven't lost 100 pounds or 50 pounds or, you know, I've probably lost 15. But the fact that I've maintained over 2.5 years, eating like royalty every day is phenomenal. That would not have happened otherwise. Absolutely no way.
See, I think that's the key. The key is that this is just the first time you've maintained ever. It's the first time I've ever maintained ever. And I mean, I'm not going to say I've never had my weight go up and down within a range with intermittent fasting, but it was never such a range that I had to get new clothes.
Yeah, mine is a
Whereas
really small
before,
range.
Yeah, before it was always what clothes size will I be this season? You know, back in the day, I might be a 14 one winter, the next winter I'll be a 10, then the next winter I'd be a 12, and then I'd be a 16. And so I was always cycling through. Maybe I'd pop down to an 8, but then I'm back up to a 16. And so I would just say, well, which ones of my clothes fit this year? But now it's all of them.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would get really resentful if I had something nice I wanted to wear for an occasion and then I had that belly that wouldn't fit in it. Whereas now I have the same 2-pound belly that I've got plenty of clothes that it fits in. It looks fine. Nobody else notices. I know they don't.
Right. That's true.
And Michael says, oh, you're looking trim. And I'm thinking, no, I've still got this 2-pound belly. But
that's how your body is shaped.
Yeah, I think it is. And I, even when I've been a lot thinner, I normally do have that shape. So I think it's just a little bit of protective womanly fat.
I think so. And I think, you know, we look at these images, I've talked about this before, of what we think we're supposed to look like. Mm. And, you know, I've watched some people in the groups that have been around for a long time. I'm certainly not going to name them, but you probably know too. But people who really, really fret over like 2 pounds and they beat themselves up and they will say, gosh, you know, I look so terrible. And they don't. They just look like that's what a female looks like.
Well, I did after the lockdown when we'd been drinking a lot more every day, not longer windows, but drinking from start to finish. So 4 hours of drinking and cider. I used to only drink cider in the pub, but because the pub was closed, I had 20 litres delivered and then had another 20 litres delivered. And I'm on about my fourth box. But if I drink that every day, that's a lot of sugar. And unlike you, I process alcohol brilliantly. I don't get a hangover. I feel fine the next day.
That's amazing. I'm so jealous.
Except that it means there's nothing to stop me. So I was just all through the lockdown drinking the whole 4 hours. Oh, great. It's 5 o'clock. Let's have a gin and tonic and let's have a pint of cider and let's have wine with dinner and another pint of cider. So I got a bit blubbery. So I did a bit of ADF in July and August. I did mealless Mondays, two meal Tuesday.
Yeah.
And then Wednesday, the 500 calorie down day, and then 2 meal Thursday. And it didn't make that much difference. I lost that little bit of chub, but other than that.
That was it.
Yeah. And I didn't enjoy eating lunch. I really don't.
I get that.
I really have to force myself.
It's hard. And so that's not right for you. And,
no,
and I want to circle back to what I said. I'm not criticizing you for wanting to lose the 2 pounds or the people who want to have, but I'm sad that we continue to have this mental dialogue. And, you know, I sound like I have it all together, but I was just at the beach with college friends that two of them I hadn't seen in 19 years. There were 5 of us together. We all were tri-deltas back at Wake Forest University in the 80s. We graduated in 1990. But, you know, I looked at myself in a picture. I'm like, ooh, look. And my friend is like, you've got to stop. I mean, I was picking myself apart. So, I talk a good game, but I feel those same insecurities and pressures. You know, yes, I understand this is how my body looks. You know, I've got, quote, flaws too.
Yeah.
And we've got to stop. So when I say stop, you know, tearing yourself apart for these 2-pound belly, I've got to do the same thing.
I got really
It's like
annoyed.
The way I stand, I'm like, ooh, I have a, you know, I can have a muffin top too.
I should make myself
It's just, I can have one. I could grab Anybody can have a muffin top if you put on the right clothes, that are, I could should say, the wrong clothes, because the key to not having a muffin top is just your clothes. It's not your body.
And I was annoyed with myself after that 2 months. I thought, I've just given myself a hard time for 2 months and I haven't enjoyed it. If the long fasts were great, but having to eat, it didn't suit me at all. So I just thought, why have you beaten yourself up for 2 months? And it was a like the diet mentality that you speak about that I'd never really had before. But I was like, if I fast longer, I'll get thinner. And it's just ridiculous. My body shape didn't really change at all. My same clothes fit. I lost a little bit of that blubber that was from over drinking. Other than that, I'm back to where I was.
And you probably would have lost that had you just stopped.
Yeah, stopped drinking.
The over drinking, it probably would have come away as well. Yeah, I haven't done a longer fast since, what year was it, 2016. I haven't done any kind of, you know, alternate daily fasting since
and
then.
As I say, the long fasts were great, but the eating, it's just not for me. I really had to plan myself a lunch to make sure I ate it. And I actually quite resented having to sit down. I've got things to do. I don't want to sit and eat lunch.
I get it. I will say, though, I've probably loosely done down days and up days, but I've never counted a calorie. Like, I've never said, I'm going to have a down day today. But I am 100% certain that there have been days over these years where probably I was really busy and had a late meal and it was a short window and I probably ate less, probably 500 calories. I don't know. I don't count. But then I always find if I have a small, tight, short window, the next day I'm hungrier. And I probably do eat, quote, two meals. Like, it might not be till 2 o'clock. But like yesterday, day before yesterday, we were very, very busy. I didn't eat till probably 6 p.m. and I just had one plate of food and I don't know, but I'm sure it was under 1,000 calories if I had counted it. It was a small amount of food for me. But then yesterday, I was hungry early, so I started eating at 2 p.m. And I ate, I'm certain, of what would be considered two meals. I ate all day, starting at 2.
Well, I've found the last few months, if I wait till my dinner, I don't have a glass of wine and a snack, I just eat my dinner. And it could be a piece of fish and some salad, and that is often enough. But like you say, sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. So if I was a calorie counter, I'm sure I'd see, and I think it would be a down day and two up days, or two down days and an up day. It wouldn't be, but definitely. And my appetite correction is absolutely crazy. These days I will leave a potato on my plate or half a piece of chocolate. It's just crazy.
It really is. You know, and I my body tells me the day after I eat less, my body says, you need to eat a little more today.
Yeah.
And that is appetite correction.
Yeah.
You know, the naturally up and down. Yep, it really is. And your body lets you know this was enough for today when you've had a small meal. And instead of worrying about, oh my gosh, I didn't, quote, eat enough. You did, because your body was happy. And then tomorrow it'll tell you to eat a little more.
Yeah, it works. Hey guys, it works.
So how was the black? Are you a black coffee drinker?
No.
Okay. So you're not, you don't.
I've never drunk coffee because it gives me the jitters. I'm one of these naturally hyper people. I really don't need any help.
So I bet you're a slow caffeine metabolic.
Oh, I must be. Yeah.
See, we're the opposite.
Yeah. A friend of mine.
I would like to switch with you. I would like to be a fast alcohol metabolizer.
A slow caffeine metabolizer. A friend of mine said she would never get in the car with me after a coffee again. So I stopped drinking coffee then. She said it was
that just, makes sense.
And I said, I'm fine. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm absolutely fine. I'm drunk my joint. I was like, no, you're absolutely bonkers. So yeah, and I don't like it enough to bother. I sometimes have a decaf. If we're in an airport and we've got hours to kill, I might have an enormous decaf just to pass the time, but I'm not bothered.
So you didn't have to learn to drink black coffee?
No, but I used to drink all sorts of tea. I used to have green energy to wake me up, and I used to have bedtime tea, and I used to have all like five different types during the day. And when I stopped doing those, I was like, I don't even really like green tea, and I don't really like black tea, so I just drink water.
That's perfect.
I drink MT. Hot or cold?
MT, that's my favorite. Right now I'm drinking some coffee, but it's cold here, so I'm going to switch to some. I got my Christmas cup.
Oh, sweet.
So we're recording this in November. And yes, I'm an early Christmas person. Look at, I'm going to show Lucy my Christmas tree.
Oh, a little dinky desk.
I have a little
Christmas
tiny little desk Christmas tree, and I turned the lights on. I'm sitting here with it. It makes me so happy. But yeah, I'll have my MT later, the hot water in a mug.
Yeah, I drink it all day. When it's cold, I have it hot. And when it's hot, I have it cold. And to be honest, I don't drink that much water. I often don't have a drink until maybe midday. And I think, oh, I haven't had anything yet today. Whereas before, I just used to drink tea because, I don't know, because it was there.
I had a whole tea cabinet. And I had, I mean, at school, this is really funny, in my classroom. It was like an entire cabinet of my classroom in the back. We had like a sink area. And I had my beverage cabinet back in the day. And I really think it was that whole diet. I was always dieting, you know, before intermittent fasting. So I would have my zero calorie teas and I was always having something. But they were always, you know, like the apple cinnamon tea or I had these dessert teas, they were called. And they were like chocolate mint flavor. I mean, I always had something sweet and flavored going into my mouth. If I was awake, I was drinking something food flavored.
When I did 5-2, I drank gingerbread tea.
Oh, I had gingerbread tea.
Yeah, which actually it seemed to be okay. I wouldn't bother risking it now, but it didn't seem to cause me a problem. And I always used to say to people, my body knows I'm fasting if I'm drinking this gingerbread tea. So I think maybe it just tasted of ginger. But I'm not going to try it now. Oh, I tried I had a coffee, a decaf coffee, and I put some cinnamon in it just out of interest. Half an hour before my window opened, oh my goodness, I had such a blood pressure drop. It was not good.
So you felt it.
Oh, wow.
You really felt that.
Within 3-4 minutes, I was like, oh, shouldn't have done that.
That's true for me as well. I used to, back in the day, before I read the obesity code, before I understood insulin and all of that, I used to put, my coffee was always, I had vanilla cream stevia, but also cinnamon.
Oh, wow.
It was so delicious. It was and soothing and yummy. So I actually did try some cinnamon just out of curiosity. Within the past year, it was close to my eating window opening. So I just was like, let me just see. I'm just curious. Immediate.
Yeah.
It was totally a no.
I was really disappointed. I thought, this is so tasty.
I wish we could have all that. You know, I would love to be able to have lemon water and cinnamon in my coffee and all of flavored teas.
I have a pinch of Redmond salt sometimes in my water. That's a real treat.
I don't like it. And I don't like the salt in the water. I only have it like if I have a sore throat, which is very rare. But I'll maybe put a little sprinkle if I'm losing my voice.
Yeah.
It's good salt for that. Yeah.
Sometimes I have a little bit of that. It's like a real exciting treat in my water.
I used to also buy these. They had these savory teas. Wow. I mean, I tell you, when I said I was always having something in my mouth that tasted like food, I was. And they had these savory, brothy kind of teas that were like, I don't even know what was in there. These little tea sachets of like dried up tomato and
sounds very
garden
weird.
Garden tea. I don't know what it was, but I was like, ridiculous. Yeah, it is. It's crazy.
Sounds very weird.
Yeah, but they were tasty. I guess it was like drinking a little broth.
Yeah, but not a good idea.
Stick
to the water.
Water. Yep, and the black coffee for me.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than just a house. It's your home, the place that's filled with memories. The early days of figuring it out, to the later years of still figuring it out. For the place you've put down roots, trust Amica Home Insurance. Amica, empathy is our best policy.
So have you had any health benefits that you've noticed?
My sister always says, do you feel better? I don't feel better because I didn't feel bad in the first place. But I must be halfway through my menopause. I'm 54. I'm at my 5-month marker. I don't have any obvious symptoms. I was telling my niece today, apparently a lot of women get to look pregnant when they have their menopause. They get this nice big front belly. I haven't got that. Mine is
still good.
The same little 2-pound pouch. I have the odd flush, but really nothing major. I don't have headaches. I don't have any of the things that people associate with it. So I'm attributing that to intermittent fasting.
I think so.
Yeah.
I went through it. You know, I'm completely on the other side now. It's been I'm at month 13 as we're recording. So I'm over on that side of it at the age of 51. But yeah, I did have hot flashes here and there, but it was more like more connected to what I ate.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Or drank.
If I eat too much, if I push past my satiety signals, I will be burning hot for 20 minutes after that.
Yep. Me too.
Quite often I'll sit there and think, this isn't a hot flush. This is, oh, there's a name for it, isn't there? That you and Melanie said it's, I can't remember what it's called, something of thermogenesis.
Thermodynamic. Yeah. Thermogenesis, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. I think, oh, that's what that is, which is great because I think, burn that off. I don't want that. Get rid of it.
That's true. Yes. Yeah. But I think so too. You know, most women gain weight over menopause.
Yeah. Well, I haven't at all. And my sleep is spectacular.
That's
I sleep
good.
Better than I've slept my whole life. In fact, when we started with the 5-2, I started sleeping on the two nights. I thought, wow, because I hadn't slept through the night for years, decades probably. So that was, I thought, well, I'm going to do this because if it makes me sleep, I'll take it. And then
that's great.
I've slept well. I hardly ever wake up in the night now. And I used to wake up at 2 or 3 in the morning for literally decades. So I'm very happy with that.
That's wonderful. I wish my sleep, but I've always had that restless sleep. So, and it certainly, my sleep, I've struggled with it more over menopause, but.
Yeah, mine's been great. Better than ever. And I do take a bit of magnesium citrate. And I don't know, I take that to keep me regular because I suppose that's a medical benefit. I used to have what they call slow transit. I don't seem to have that anymore.
That's really good.
That was medically diagnosed because they, of course, the doctors say, oh, well, it's your diet or you don't drink enough water. I'm a cookery teacher. I eat really proper food every day, cook from scratch. I drink enough water. It's not that. So eventually I went for a scan and they didn't find anything and they tried me on some salts, just a mixture of salts, and it fixed it. So that's the diagnostic tool. And now I don't need that at all. So I guess that is a medical benefit.
Do you still take magnesium?
Yeah.
You take it every day?
Yeah, I take it.
Yeah, I think it's important. That's the only supplement that I've kept in my arsenal. Like I stopped taking it very briefly and I noticed an immediate difference. So I was like, all right, magnesium's back on board. I mean, it's an essential nutrient.
Yeah.
So.
And it's no big deal. It's like a piece of chalk. Just take that at bedtime.
I take it at bedtime. And it does help me go to sleep, but nothing really keeps me asleep all night. Like I still wake up, but I mean, I'm well rested. So
yeah.
I'm just one of those people, I think, that wakes up early. Yeah.
Yeah. In the early days when I was fasting regularly, so a couple of years ago, I found I woke up much earlier, but alert, awake. Oh, the first time I did a longer fast, first time I did a 30 something hour, I woke up groggy. And I was like, this has not happened to me for years. I hadn't even remembered that was how I normally woke up. But it only happened that first time. So I don't know if something shifted. But then, because most people, it's the opposite, isn't it? They don't sleep well. But I slept really deeply and I maybe slept too deeply and I just woke up groggy. I thought, oh, I don't like this very much. But then the Wednesday, absolutely fine. So, and that's never happened since. But it made me realize I normally wake up really alert, even if I wake up at 5:30, 6 o'clock.
Me too. So I guess I should stop complaining about my sleep because I wake up alert and I feel fabulous.
Yeah.
So I'm getting the right amount of sleep. I guess I'm just one of those people. This is just the way I sleep.
Yeah. I think
I'm an early riser.
I can go to bed quite late and wake up quite early.
I cannot go to bed late.
No. I found as a teacher that I don't run on sleep. I run on adrenaline. So if there's something happening, I'm there, I'm doing it, I'm awake. And if there isn't, like if the assembly's really boring, I'm asleep regardless of whether I had a good night or not.
That's true. I don't like to be bored.
No, me neither.
No, my brain needs to be engaged.
Absolutely.
At all times. Yeah, me too. I don't do well with just sitting and doing nothing. So I think we definitely have that in common.
That's why you have to be a teacher. I tried all sorts of other jobs. I gave up teaching 3 or 4 times. I tried all sorts of other things, but they're all fairly boring. Teaching.
Well, that's true.
You never know what you're going to get with teaching, and it varies every time, which is great fun.
It is. It really is. And I really loved being a teacher.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. So, but right now you're not going into the classroom.
No,
you're
6th of February was the last time I went in. So, and I'm self-employed, so I'm just baking cakes for the bin men at the moment.
Okay.
So nothing much else to do.
So you have some YouTube videos of your cooking.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us about that.
Oh, well.
How people could find you.
That was the following holiday in Turkey because I can't sit around. I can't just sit by
the pool. Right, you got to have something to
do. Yeah, so my project was I wrote a cookery book called Fresher Bites and I launched a YouTube channel and a website and a Facebook group. It's called Fresher Bites and it's aimed at new cooks, so university freshers. or anybody else who's a new cook. And it's really comprehensive. It's got equipment lists and how to cut safely and how to make a white sauce or how to scramble an egg or make an omelette or all sorts of very simple, basic things. And then I came home that summer, printed the book. So it exists as a PDF or as an actual book. And if you get the PDF, there are links straight to the YouTube films. So you can have it on your phone. You can zoom in on the shopping list while you're out shopping, buy those things, go home, click on the YouTube film and watch me cook it. And the films are really short.
How do people find it? How would people find
Fresher Bites on YouTube or Facebook or the website? I've got it because I'm also a web designer. See, short attention span. I design websites. I did the website.
I did not know that.
Yeah, most of the schools I worked at, I did their websites. So. When I gave up teaching one time, I retrained as a web designer and did that for a bit, but got sucked back into the teaching because web designing is all on your own all day.
That's true. And teaching is great for people who like to be around others.
Yeah.
Because you are around people the whole time.
That's right.
You can't get away.
Yeah. So it was quite a nice contrast to do a bit of both, but yeah. So yeah, Fresher Bites, and it's really basic. It's really, because it starts with the recipes I did with the 5 and 6 year olds. So yeah, so anybody can do it.
Well, I think that's what people need. I mean, I'm thinking back to my own children, and you know, I have boys, but I didn't really teach them much cooking. They weren't really that interested. They didn't really want to get, I mean, Will came in the kitchen a little bit. He made something one time, mixed a bunch of stuff together. It was just ridiculous. It wasn't really food.
Yeah. Well, where I worked, there were 3 generations who hadn't cooked. They just bought ready meals. So
exactly.
Nobody taught anybody how to cook. And I had ran a parents club, like a parents cafe, and they used to come in on a Monday afternoon, and there was a little gardeny allotmenty thing there. We'd pick what there was, or they'd bring in what they had in their gardens, and we'd cook it. We'd make soup or porridge or whatever. And there were grandparents that had never cooked. They were wowed by it. So I remember teaching someone to make a sauce with a roux, and they're like, oh, look, it's getting thick, it's getting thick. It's like, yeah, that's how it works.
Oh, and it's true. I love making a roux. Yeah, a cream sauce is good on anything.
Yeah. Then I'd be shopping and someone would run up to me who I didn't recognize and say, we had couscous last night. So, oh, that's nice.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah, I have no idea who you are, but that's great.
Yeah. You know, I think a natural connection for kids is teaching them to grow things because, you know, there's research on that. When kids grow it, when they're connected from, you know, start to finish, they're more likely to eat it.
Yeah.
You know, I would love to see a project like that. I'd love to be part of that.
Yeah. Also, the parents would say, oh, no, he doesn't eat those. I say, watch this. If they pick it and grow it, or even if they just peel it and cut it up themselves, they'll eat it and they'll tell you theirs is better than yours. So
that's
true.
Yeah,
they'll eat anything. Yeah. You had an eating a lot.
I would like to go back. I've said this before. Go back in time and parent differently with my children and. You know, and we're so busy, I think, that you're like, no, just let me do it.
Yeah.
You miss that window of when they're interested and would be connected because you just don't have the time to bother. But really, you should take the time to bother.
And that was a nice thing if I had parents in to watch their children cooking. I used to get the children to teach the parents what we'd cooked the week before. And the parents would say, no, let me cut that. I'd say, no, she'll show you how to do it. Or he'll show you how to do it. And he would say, no, don't do it like that, Mummy. We do it like this. Like, fantastic.
Oh, that's the best.
It's really, really rewarding.
Well, I'll do it with my grandkids. Once I have grandchildren, we'll cook together. I'll be there.
Yeah.
Their cooking grandmother.
That'd be great.
Yeah, I've got to figure out my grandmother name.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Mama Jen. Maybe I'll be Mama Jen.
Cool. Like that.
Yeah, we'll see. We are almost out of time. What would you tell someone just starting out with intermittent fasting? Or what do you wish you knew when you first started?
Oh, I wish I knew how easy it was going to be. As I say, when I saw the 1 meal a day group, I thought, oh, there's no way I'll go to that. That's just ridiculous. But when I did it, it actually was really very easy. And because I'd often skip breakfast anyway, it was natural. It came very naturally. So I think I'd like to tell myself to just chillax a bit. And I think as well about all the questions we see in the group about, should I do this? Should it be longer? Should it be shorter? Just relax. Your body
just
knows how to do this. This is the thing your body knows how to do. Stop all the other stuff. Stop the chatter about I've got to eat this many macros and I must eat four grapes a day or whatever. And all the supplements. You don't need any of that. Just eat real food. Just eat real food. That's it.
Yeah. the supplements, that's, you know, we've been taught you must have a pre-workout, a post-workout, this supplement, that supplement. People all the time, they're like, I have to take, you know, fish oil and I'm supposed to take it three times a day. I'm like,
no, you don't.
You do not need fish oil three times a day. Our bodies are not designed to require fish oil three times a day. No.
And I laugh at myself that I took a multivitamin when I first started of 1 meal a day because obviously, I wanted to make sure I got enough vitamins. Then I looked at what I had been eating for my breakfast and lunch. I don't think I was making sure I was getting enough vitamins. I think I was just stuffing my face. So no need for multivitamins, just have a proper dinner. And as I say, I really like vegetables. I always did anyway, but now I really make sure I get half a plate of vegetables.
You appreciate
them. I would probably say to people who are starting, just make sure you eat real food and really enjoy it. That's the other big thing. I can now enjoy my food every day without any concern about, am I eating the right thing? Should I be eating more of this, less of that? Just enjoy it. Get in.
Yeah. I'm a big believer in that, which is why I'm a little nervous about doing the predict, you know, just because, like I said, it's going to be, you know, a shift to try to get, you know, eating to a certain plan. But I really want to see how my body feels. I'm not trying to lose weight. I'm not doing this for any reason like that. It's completely, I want to see what it feels like. Because I don't need to lose weight.
No, that's you the definitely don't need to lose weight.
I don't, which is...
And I'm not going to lose anymore. My body decided 2.5 years
ago. Your body's
happy. This is it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, two things that I have to mention. One is I haven't weighed myself for at least 2 years. I don't even know. Because last time I weighed myself, I weighed 4 more pounds than I thought I should. And it ruined my week. So I was just like, this is ridiculous. My clothes still fit the same. This 4 pounds is probably bone density. But whatever it is, I'm not going to be being upset by that stupid machine anymore. So I literally, and I used to weigh myself in other people's houses on their scales, as people do. Or, you know, if I walk past a scale in a shop. But no. Over 2 years. And I don't care. Because my niece sometimes says, what do you weigh? I'm like, no clue. I think I weigh about 140, but I think I was like 142 or something at the time. I thought I should be less than that. So that's me.
I think I'm in the 120s, but if I got on this, well, I mean, I have a shape of scale, so I only see the color. But, you know, if I clicked the button that let me see the number, if it said like 135, I'd be mad. Yeah. So I don't want to see that number.
I don't want to see it. I'd be happy with 135, but actually I would probably be too thin at 135.
Mm-hmm. I'm 5'5".
Yeah, I'm 5'6", but 140.
And I'm very small boned. I have tiny little wrists. And.
But the other thing is, I spoke to my niece this morning and she said, I have to tell you that they're now eating in a 4-hour window maximum. So just over time, it's all trickled down and she and her boyfriend, and they are super gym bunnies. They run all the time. She runs in the morning and they work out. They've got their own workout gym at home now because of lockdown. So they're super athletic. Really sporty, and now just eat dinner 4 hours. They started in the summer at 16.8, and it was quite funny. I went round to drop some cardboard boxes around because they were moving house. And at one point, Alex ran into the house. He said, I've got to break my fast. He's looking at his watch. They're not like that anymore. They've chilled.
That's great.
They just have dinner now. I love it. Which is really nice.
Well, Lucy, I really enjoyed talking to you today, and thank you so very much.
Lovely to see you.
Do you have an intermittent fasting story to tell? Email me at jen@intermittentfastingstories.com and I'll add you to the lineup. That's jen@intermittentfastingstories.com. The world wants to hear your story. That's it for today. Remember, I may have a doctorate, but I'm not a medical doctor. So don't use anything you hear on this podcast as a substitute for medical advice. Please always check with your doctor or healthcare provider if you have medical questions. I'll talk to you next week, Fasting Family, where we will hear another inspiring story. Have a great week and fast on. Intermittent Fasting Stories is edited, mixed, and mastered by Resonate Recordings. To learn more, visit them at resonaterecordings.com or email them at hello@resonaterecordings.com. Intermittent Fasting Stories listeners will receive a free offer if you mention that you heard it on the podcast.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.